Not an impression. Gentlemen, I'd like to start. The Gemara tells us on Avlamid Rav Medeiz and Asech the Menachas. Omer Abba Bar Avuna Chayav Odom Lamashmesh B'Tfilin B'Chol Shor. A person is required to feel his tefillin all the time. Ha'avachomer mitzit. You learn it from a tzit, which is the big kahuna of Aaron HaKohen, Kohen Gadol. U'matzit, she'enbo el azkor ha'achas amra Torah v'hayom mitzchol tamid. Shlot tzitziach datam imenu. The tzit is only one time Hashem is in Kodesh Hashem, on the front. And still the Torah says, amitzchol tamid. You have to keep remembering the tzit, shouldn't forget about it for a moment. Tefillin sheyesh bo an azkoros harbe al achas kama v'kama. So the tefillin have so many times Hashem's name, how much more so is the person required never to forget the tefillin? And in order never to forget the tefillin, we say you should feel the tefillin all the time, the mashish with tefillin b'chol shor, so you shouldn't forget it. It's interesting, the rush in Simen Chof Aleph, if everyone will please turn to the back. So the Russian Simon Chafala discusses what exactly is the nature of this issue of Hesnach Adas. Let's give a little introduction. These days we wear tefillin only during davening. But in the olden days, in the time of the Gemara, they wore tefillin all day. And according to some, perhaps even into the night, as we learned last week. So the Rush discusses in Simon Chafala, how is it possible not to forget about the tefillin the whole day? This is what he says. The Rush quotes from the Gemara Masech Masukah Daf Kavav, which permits even to sleep with the tefillin Shinas Aroi. We discussed this last week a bit. A small little dremel, a little tiny, we'll see how tiny it is soon. Catnap, very tiny, it's permitted but with the tefillin. The Entoma of a head, Shinas Aroi Mutter, Valo Otto, a Siach Data Mehen, a Vishosh, a Misnam name, Nimsa, a Siach Data Mehen. The someone we call Yiddish Drimmel. Just sort of fall asleep for a minute. The see sort of the word a minute I'm using advisedly. So for that minute that he's sleeping, he's not thinking about the tefillin. So the Omer Rav Rabbein Yonah, based upon a Rambam. I can't find the Rambam yet. The Shagasai also couldn't find the Rambam. Matan of Teres of Davazeh. So Lohavi Esrach Adas Alek Sha'omed Bekalos Roshu V'Tchok. When you're wearing the tefillin and you're thinking the thoughts of levity, that is called Hesach Adas, which is prohibited. Avok she'omed v'yiro mitzatik v'tzirochol avapisha otzik v'mulachto v'umunoso ein dato aleem mamish ein zanik Hesach Adas. He's a computer programmer. He's programming all day with his computer. He's thinking all about the screen and what it says and what he could do. And he forgets all about his tefillin. It's not considered to be in the category of Hesach Adas. It's impossible. All day, that's going to work. Why? When a person is sleeping, he forgets all the silly things of the world, it's not considered Kalas Rosh and Hesach Adas. This is the famous parrot of the Rabbeinu Yonah, which is quoted in the halacha by the Tur and Simon Mem Dalid, and the Mishnah Berurah passes this way of the halacha. Fine. The And Morgan Avram comes up with a Chiddush on this basis. He says, it's quoted in Mishnah Berurah too. Everyone has a Mishnah Berurah. Please open up, you'll see it in the Mishnah Berurah. It's Simon Mem Dalet. Sivkot and Gimel. Comes from Morgan Avram. Sivkot and Bay. Wait a second. Says the Mishnah Berurah as follows. Quote first the Rabbi Eliyahu. L'choshev es chadas al kshu omer b'tzkok v'kalos rosh al kshu osmer m'lachto v'mnosa v'endata alei mamish. It's not called es chadas. And he's sleeping. Quote to almost a verbatim quote. But Mitzvah and Amuf, we should think about the tefillin. Fine. Now, Shelo yasiach datem and limshach v'l'harash v'machshavas rosh shemitam z'chayav l'mashmesh kol shav shelo yasiach datem ayah. The reason, as the Gemara says, the reason that you have to feel the tefillin is to prevent es chadas. Zula, except v'shat ha'tefillin v'halimud ein tzorich litein dato b'tefillin. While he is learning or davening, there's no need to think about the tefillin. Why? So the beer, he says, look in the beer halacha. There he quotes as follows: "Or is a ruah." So when a person is, should always think about the tefillin. But if he is mechav and liba b'tefilaso v'halacha shalo, ain the esek adat. The kol shkan deika yiras Hashem. But during davening and even learning, there's no need to feel the tefillin because you are the feeling of the tefillin because of hesek hadas, and hesek hadas does not apply. We assume during davening because there's no kol v'kalos rosh anyway. It's supposed to be davening in a serious mood. This is the psak of the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham. Fine. So that's the case, gentlemen. It comes out that since we only wear tefillin during davening anyway. Or the whole din of mishmash betzvillin should never apply. Because mishmash betzvillin is only a safeguard against hesek hadas. But the Morgan Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah during davening we're not worried about hesek hadas. Because you can't even discuss with kalos rosh. You have to think about the davening. So there's no need. It's against the din of Shulchan Aruch with Oro. Simon Chof Ches, please. Sif Aleph. Why are you davening? What are you doing in davening and not saying the word? You're thinking about the davening, about the word. So good. Also, you shouldn't have a tradas. It should be a serious move. So there the Mechaber says, Chayev Odom L'mashmash B'tzillin B'chol Shoh Shliyasir Da'atam Ehem. That's our Gemara. Chof Ches Tzifal. The Mashmash B'chol Yad Tchila. Remember that's one of the Pshatim in the Kshatim V'hoya we spoke in the Tosh. Ukshe Yomar Ukshat, speaking of Kshatim V'hoya. וכשיום וכשעת מנות וידיך כמשמש בשל יד וכשיום ובהיו לכתובת בין עיניך כמשמש בשל ראש where does it come from? Pur, בסימן סמכה where does that come from? Nowhere and I looked it up, I just apparently it was just said it nowhere in Shas people sometimes think it's a Gemara, it's not such a Gemara it's just kacha so since you still can refer to the tefillin it would be a good idea So you went to be mashmash at that particular point in time. Clear to me? Okay, but I don't mean when I said chalila. When I said no, I didn't mean chas v'sholem. But oh, no, I'm sorry. I mean that it didn't come from the Gemara. That's all I meant. It's not nowhere in Shas. It's nowhere in Merubas anywhere except that since you have to be mashmash, it's a good time to be mashmash when you say the psukim which refer to the tefillin. Ikar adin, it's not required, clearly. Because, we said before, during davening, you're not required to worry about mishmash or hesek hadas, and therefore it's not an absolute requirement. It's interesting, in the Mishnah Berurah, it's cotton out, the kol shah, the nizka bem chayav l'mashmash, right, they came, nizka alein todir, to the yavu de hesek hadas, not, we said, does not apply, but shah tatila. The oath, they're the taknam, shalai azizim im koma, shalai azuzim im koma, The children shouldn't move from their place. Who said so? Look on the Shartin. Pre-Megadim Hashem Ma'arai. Tumas Hadesh. Now, so the Pre-Megadim, they said, hey, If the reason is a completely different reason, for the tefillin should be in the proper place, so it should apply even during davening. That's what he said. So in my opinion, it all depends. If you're the kind of a person that your tefillin are always falling out of their proper places, we'll discuss the proper place later this week, then in fact it should be mamashmash during davening. Because the kind of person, when you put your tefillin on before davening, it stays in one place. So I'm not sure if I should advocate playing around with the tefillin. Pumfakir. You start touching the tefillin, you can push it out of its place. So therefore, those who don't move their tefillin during the davening still has a very strong basis in halacha, because of the reason of Hesed Hadas does not apply. And as far as placing of the tefillin, it depends which way it comes. How long is Shina Saroy? How long is Shina Saroy? According to one day in the Sechta Sukkot of Chavavim and Aleph, Shina Saroy is the time it takes to walk 100 amos. How long, gentlemen, does it take to walk 100 amos? So the Magen Avraham does the math for us. Mr. Brewer quotes that the bottom is the result of it. It doesn't tell you how the mathematics is arrived at. Mr. Brewer writes, Cotton Salvid, Shir Hil Kufama, Vahu, Chelek Samav Zion Mishaw Vakiru. So 1/67th of a minute, of an hour. Where does math come from? So I wrote down the math, the Magen Avraham's math. I wrote it down, very simple. It says in the Gemara that a person can walk 40 mil in a day. Okay? I'm going to have a computer, there's a watch, with a calculator, I can figure it out. 40 mil in a day. Every mil is 2,000 amas. The person can walk 80,000 amas in a day. Right? 2,000 times 40. 80,000 amas. That means he can walk 800 times 100 amas. Give me so far? Okay. So now I want to know, in every hour, how many times can he walk 100 amas? We have to take 800 divided by 12. Count out the 66.666. That's one out of 67 of an hour. That's the math. Which means about a minute. A minute. For someone is sitting in Beis Medrash when davening Shacharit, and somehow he just for some reason didn't get enough sleep last night. I know there are some people that were not able to get the sleep that they really needed last night. And maybe it's like we call dribbling. So you see somebody who's just about, his eyes just closing. He's wearing tefillin. You look at your watch, give him about a little bit less than a minute, and then tap on the shoulder, and you can't sleep any longer. Okay? And in that 1 minute, he'll be refreshed. He'll be able to continue davening and learning properly. That's it. Look at your watch. We'll just see how long it takes him to, how long he's sleeping. Okay. Fine. Good. Now, the Shagat Aryeh, the world famous Shagat Aryeh. I put it in brackets in the Ma'am Kermis. Simon, Lamatet, and Mem. Many boys talk about it for the Bar Mitzvah. The Shagat Aryeh claims that the Rush is wrong. The Rush is wrong, the Tour is wrong. They're all wrong. And I told you, he's not afraid of anybody. They're all wrong. Finished. Hesed Hadas applies all the time. Every minute, he says, you have to think about your tefillin. A minute can't pass by without thinking about tefillin. So what about during davening? Yes, sir. Whoa, let's take a look at Shita Hay. I didn't see it. Shita Hay. Hikshel ben Simcha came with the children of Al-Kavana, if Yochel is followed a liquid Krishma, for him, for Inu Nami Boy Kavana, the Tirith Osek ben Mitzvah, Potem in a Mitzvah, wow. Came in the Yeshel of the Kayim Shnei and Biachat, which reminds us of we learned to see in the Sefer Sukkah. Thank you, I didn't notice this. That's a good question. Is it an Issa to wet filler with the wrong Kavana, or is it just a Bittul Mitzvah? You assume it's a Bittul Mitzvah, if you're not thinking about filling up a Mitzvah, so what? You don't have a mitzvah. But he's saying Krishna Davidin, you don't have a mitzvah tefillin. Comes first. That's a good question. that the tefillin comes first. So say faker, you shouldn't say krishma. Well, no one's going to say that with ma'isa. If, but what if I was all day? Odik shiri. Oh, what's going to be the part of an amitzah? Misha meni ach tefillin. Yeah, part of the room, that's person's kash and sukkah. Tayag mitzvah, yeah? Yoch Hashem? Look at the person of account. Okay, fine. Oh, but that's what he, I'm thanking for the Maramok of the deal. I appreciate it. So the Shagas, what would he say about during davening? No. He's making and similar a test. He says, if you're in a situation where it's rochok, the level of the Kalos Rosh, then there's no need for mishmush. And so too, Shas Malacha, Shas Shena, the apostle would say that Shinas Kevin would. Shinas Kevin's not going to be. So the Shagas Arya said you have to always be thinking about your tefillin. But that's only if you're in an average plane situation where you might come to Kalos Rosh. But if you're in a situation where you feel you cannot come to Kalos Rosh, because you're busy doing your work, you're sitting on your computer, you're thinking about all the considerations of the working place. So then the Shagas Arya is loaded that it's permissible. There's no need to think about the tefillin all the time. So what are they arguing about? A stam case. He's not busy working and not busy davening and not busy learning. He's stam sitting there in a room. Is there a chiyuv to think about the tefillin all the time? The tour and the rush say no, because there's no kalos rosh. And the Shagas Arya says yes, presumably because it could lead to kalos rosh. You're not doing anything which would take you away from any kalos rosh at the present time. What's the Shagas Arya's raya? From a Ramban. Ramban says, quoted really in Parshni, we'll see in Shulchan Aruch, in Yeradeya primarily, shouldn't they have the truth both in the Mechaber. Someone who's involved in Bechi and Mitzvah has to get his mind off it in order to be able to put on Tefillin properly. And the Rambam says, and it's quoted in the Halach in the Shulchan Aruch, if you open up please, Simen Lamed Ches, Sif Ches, quotation of the Rambam, where it says, "Mitzayir u'misha ein datam yushevet alav u'nachono potter mesha also l'siach datam mehem." Now, mitzayir, and certainly someone who's an avelus, is going to come to Kalos Rosh. Quite the contrary, he's very sad, he's very unhappy, he's very down. He's not going to be in the mood of levity. And nonetheless, the Shulchan Aruch says that it's inappropriate for him to put on tefillin. As a matter of fact, it's a steer in the tour. Because the Torah quotes it in here in Simen Lamed Ches, and the Torah quotes the Torah's own sheet in Simen Mem Dalet. It's only when it comes to Kalos Rosh, a stira in the Torah. As a matter of fact, the Shagas Arya quotes the Gemara on Shabbos after your days. But they didn't make it there. The person going to walk out with his children on Shabbos because Chayav the Mashish B'chol Shoh. As a matter of fact, the Darkei Moshe and the Simen Reish Nun Beis is this kash against the Torah. Only if there's a Gisur Kalos Rosh, then how could he be assured he's not going to walk out with his children because he's chayav the mashiv b'chol shah? That's a good kash. A good kash. And the Shara Tzion over here in Mem Dalet makes reference to a Sharei Tshuva in Simen Chof Ches Sif Kotten Aleph. Take a look. The Shagas Arya is impossible. Take a look. Simen Chav Chesiv Kodin Aleph and Shari Tshuva. Ayin Meshut Shagas Arya Simen Mem Sha'osa Hefer Hadas Mikol Inyan. Except you have a break. Once every minute. Right, because here look where I am. Fine. Fine. He has a cash, how can it be? One a minute. Lo nitna Torah l'malachi asharei. Every minute you think about your tefillin. Impossible. We rely on the rush. Uma shehiksha shakas aryeh, yesh li ashev. Great. Yesh, go you figure it out. Yesh li ashev, I love it. The shakas aryeh is gevaldig, a bombshell cash. Yesh li ashev. He doesn't bother taking the ink to say out of him. No. We live a few centuries later. Well, what do you mean, Yesh Liyashim? How? How Yesh Liyashim? What's he saying? What's the issue? I'll tell you what I think it is. I don't know what he meant. You must say, Rabbi, according to the Rosh in the Torah, Tvei Dinim. There's one din of Hesech Adas, which leads to Kalos Rosh. That's one din. And there's another din, something which completely preoccupies you, such as Bechiyu Mitzvah that the Ramban in the Torah talk about, and such as Ein Das on the Chona, he's with Tzar, he's completely preoccupied with something. He's so worried about something else. That's Tzak also Hesech Adas. But in average case, nothing's preoccupying him, and there's not a levity. That's the machlok. So then the Torah and Ben Yonah can concede that if it's a special preoccupation of the Bechiyu Avelus, a mitzvah on one hand, or stam, matrido, and that on the other hand, so conceded that takes you away from, that's a separate instance, so he's completely out of it. But stam, he's sitting there in villain. He's not doing work, and he's not doing leaven, just stam. Then it would say it would be permissible. That's how I understand the yesh liyasha. Yeah. You're right. I mean, I could say that. Someone who's busy with Bechi and Mitzvah. Okay. I could be. Okay. Yaakov wants to make my two halachas into one. Wonderful. One halacha is even better. The Shagas Aryeh, interesting. We derive from Tzitz. Well, it's Chotamim. You got to always think about the Tzitz. But then, Rabbi Ozai, look Ora. Where do you get a minute from? Does the Kohen Gadol have a right to stop thinking about the Tzitz for a minute? Does he have the Kedei Hilich Kufama? I don't think so. So look it up in Shagas Aryeh. It's so interesting. The Shagas Aryeh himself says it's really not a Kal V'Chomer. Of all people, it's all... He's a big mach, which is a kavachom, the gemara is a bluff. Why is it a bluff? Because in the tzitz, the shame is megula, and tefillin is mechutza, pirchan a kavachom. As I state in Shagas Aryeh, he said it himself. Pirchan a kavachom. The dinder abona by tefillin. Look, Rabbi said, there's only dinder abona, so the whole raya from tzitz obviously falls off. It's not a real kavachom. Not a real kavachom. But then he says, and don't tell me like a Rabbi Ben Yonah in the Rosh. It's only us to come to Skol from Kalas Rosh. Skol from Kalas Rosh is also us. Mishnah Pirkei Avos. This coming week's Perek, I think. Skol from Kalas Rosh, my Gimel Neyerva. So how can it be it's only us during the film? That's a kasha. Skol from Kalas Rosh is not an Easter government. It's something to be avoided because it's my Gimel Neyerva, but it doesn't. It's not the same level of Easter as we have during the film. The Kitzah, the Shagas Aryeh's kasha is not overwhelming. Himself conceived the right from such a flawed, and the Minigolem is against the Shagas Aryeh. But for us, it makes very little difference. Because we're supposed to be on davening anyway. We're supposed to try during davening to think about the davening. So then everyone agrees it would not be a problem of Hesech Adah. Fine. We finished this topic. We start now a new topic for today. Very important topic. First a question. Anybody in this room a lefty? Three lefties. Okay. Four lefties. Okay. So Gail and Meister, very much fits next to you. The Gemara has a Masechta of Menachas of Lamed Zayin, no, on Lamed Vavim Vavim still, towards the bottom. The Gemara says, Tana Rabban, Yotcha Zuz Tzmol, Ad Ova Tzmol, Lo Eina Rala Yamin, Hamad Lomar, and he called a whole series of Sukkim. Right? Af Yod Yos Da Oret, Yamini Tipcha Shamayim. A whole bunch of Sukkim in that vein. That you have Yamin and Yad, and by definition, Yad must be the left hand. Fine. Rav Nosson Omer, the fourth line on the Lama Zayin Amad Al, Ein Lutzark, says the Kshat and Uchsaf, the Maksiva B'yamin, Av Kshir B'yamin, the Kev and the Kshir B'yamin, Hanocha B'smoli, Kshir meaning Hizuk will assume, so if you tie with your right hand, you're tightening your right hand on your left hand, fine. Rav Ashi says no, Yod Cho with a Hey, Yad Keo, fine. That's the Gemara. The name of Kitanoi. Yotcha behezu small, Achayim Omrim. Yotcha l'rabba tzagidei. We'll see an amputee. We'll discuss the details of that later. And Yidach and a draw put him in a tefillin. Achem Amu Yotchol Rabbi Sagido. And Machloat is someone who's amputated. What he's tying a tefillin out. Tana Rabbanan. Yitzer Meniach Tefillin B'Yamino Shusmolo. A lefty puts tefillin on his right hand, which for him is the weaker hand. Vatanya Meniach Shusmolo. Shusmolo Shlekol. A lefty puts on his left hand. Amabaye. Yitanya Ahi. B'Sholet B'Shteyot. It's ambidextrous. Anybody here ambidextrous? You can do everything equally both hands? That's not ambidextrous. Ambidextrous is equally dexterous. That's the word. We got the key word. With both hands. Or either equally dexterous or not dexterous. With both hands. Okay. End of the sugya. End of the sugya. So the mice, there are three different derivations for the left hand. Number one is the word yotcha, his left. Two, Shira and Ksiva, the same hand. And number three, Yadkeya. That's Tosfos, like this. Ma Ksiva B'Yamin. Okay. We have the din of a lefty. V'hashta Adam HaKosei V'Yamino V'Shar Rov Masa V'Smolo. Is there anybody in this room who writes right-handed and does everything left-handed? No such person. It was very common. It was very common in the olden years when being a lefty was considered a stigma, was considered somehow lowly. Nowadays, we look up at lefties. No, it's part of intelligence. They say all kinds of things, you know. But then, not so long ago, they would force you to write right-handed. I know people who are my age, a little bit older. They stood more with more European mentality of them. They forced them to write right-handed. Even though they're complete lefty. So it exists. So where do you put your tefillin? Yesh nistapik beizim and meniach tefillin. So the shem yesh nizamos look is sholet bishtayodah. That's a wild idea. What do you mean? What's the comparison between this and sholet bishtayodah? Let me explain. What is the suffix? I would say pashas, the sheet of the kubet is indicate. At this shaila, what's the shaila? You say, iyaz lina basa ksiva, holach the bukshata bukshata malo. The shaila is, what is the alfusa, gentlemen? If the alfusa is ksiva ksiva, so if you write right-handed, you must put fill on your left hand. But if it's yad keha, your left hand is much stronger. You were born a natural lefty. This is the most common case of this phenomenon. That's the pashtus. That's the pashtus. They're clearly assuming, Rabbi Osai, that when we talk about ksiva, we mean the hand which you write with. While I'm mentioning this, look at Rashi, the remarkable Rashi in the third line of the page. Maksiva b'yamin, shekosin ha-mezuzah b'yamin, derov v'nei adam kosin b'yamin. Av kshira nami ovet kesha b'yamin. With the kosher b'yamin, michlal d'hanocha b'smol. Now what's Rashi saying? Is Rashi saying the rov b'nei adam puts tefillin on the left hand? Or is Rashi saying, Now what? No? All b'nei adam puts tefillin on the left hand. How do you read the Rashi? That rov means, we're talking about the Gemara starts off, how you not tefillin on the left hand? Same rov, it writes right, he puts tefillin on the left hand. On left hand. But those who write righty, left, do that put cylinder on the right hand, or no? It all depends upon the row. What do you say? How'd you read the Rashi? Maybe some of you didn't read the Rashi yet. Okay, I didn't consider that possibility. Today being visiting day, I'm a little bit of the early morning Shia. I gave you warning on Friday. You had to prepare. All right. In any event, the Mordechai read Rashi the remarkable way. The Rashi meant that it all depends upon rov. Most people write right-handed. Even a person who writes left-handed puts tefillin on the left hand. And the Braisa, which is later on, that a lefty puts tefillin on the right hand, goes with the sheet of Yad Keya, Rav Ashi, and against Rav Nosson. So writes the Mordechai Mefurish. And you're looking, you want to look inside. No one believes me. Open up, page Yud Gimel. is Gimel Amud Aleph. Yadkei is still depends upon every individual, but writing depends upon the majority. Good question. Good question. I don't know. You think Yadkei? Well, I can see a difference. I can see a difference. Yadkei depends upon you. With the generally afus of Kshira Tzim is always about the average person. Look, the last few words of the page. Miu Rashi Zal Gabe Ksivas, page 26. Mezuzah, Pirish Darol V'olam Koi, Ve'eino Toli B'yamin U'smol D'day. When we talk Perusha Nira Lari, the Poli, Rav Nosson means argues, Da Filu Itim and Niach B'smol. Habs and Mishnah Brura, I want to say a very, very major Kiddush Rabbi Akiva. And I'll end with this Kiddush, a tremendous Kiddush. But I'll tell you, Mishnah Brura, Rabbi Akiva, you must see the Mishnah Brura. You must see the Mishnah Brura. Everybody wake up and look at the Mishnah Brura. Sitchatn Chav Gimel. It's the last line. The Mechaber's Lashon is Be'iter Yad Gemino. Him also call Melachto Bismolo. Meniach Bismolo Shuyamin Shal Kolada. Okay. Comes the Mishnah Brura on call Melachto, Lashon of the Mechaber, and says, Hu Adin Afilu Rak Rov Melachto. Rubo Kekula, who said so? The Chen Mashma Barosh, Ubir Agro, Ubishari Akro. Wrote. True, he read the Rosh together. Usharo Masa Vismola. And the Gros Lashon is the Holy Chakaro Kola Masa. So the Chor, I have a kash. The Mordechai, you're not prepared, that's my problem today. You have to be prepared. The Mordechai has a Lashon where it says, quote, Hakol Toli B'Koach. It all depends upon strength. It seems to me a double portion. When it comes to brute strength, there's no room for any majorities or minorities. Now you give him a weight and see how much he can lift with his right hand, how much he can lift with his left hand, and strong hand wins. That's it. You can't have a majority. I'm a majority stronger in my right hand and minority stronger with the left. I'm not shy. I mean, diplomacy has its limits. If you're strong with one hand or the other, it's absolute. Either the right hand is stronger or the left hand is stronger. So the fact that we're talking about rovu miut indicates to me that we reject the Mordechai's absolute statement. It all depends upon koach. I would have read Yad Kaya. But the fact that the Gra and the Rosh are talking Rov and Miut clearly, to my mind, implies that they do not accept absolute strength as the criterion, even within the Yad Kaya theory. Rather, it turns upon Malachas. And who's Malachas, pray tell? Look at the Lashon of the Mechaber. Melachto, and therefore when the Mishnah Brura comments on the Mechaber and says Kol doesn't mean it, but it means Rov Melachto, the majority of the actions, the Melachos, that he is doing. Okay, so when it says Tosh Koach, which is the expression of the Balat Truma that we saw, and the Mechaber quoted, the Yashet Tosh Koach. So what does that word mean? Tosh Koach doesn't mean weaker or stronger in brute strength. No. Then you couldn't depend upon the majority versus minority. So what does it mean? It means rov masim. How do I know? Mefurish and Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan. There is it. Chavov. Shetosh koach. Look what it says. Ratzonoma dekstiva ein la shum mala mishar melocha yechidit. V'yazlinan basarov amasim yanikri small. Now kstiva does not require any strength at all. Does not require any strength, kstiva. Yet it counts. It counts. Therefore, it proves to me, according to Shita Tagru, Mishnah Berurah, the Gra, the Rosh, and the Mechaber, the way they learn Pshat, that it depends upon dexterity, ambidextrous. Why is the word Keah being used? Keah usually means strong and weak, brute strength. So the Asiyah Nir's diet is the Pshat. It depends upon the circumstance. Bizman Torah, Bizman Talmud, people, what do they do all day? Kailos are very uncommon. So people went to work for a living. And what do they do for a living? So, you made all kinds of living. But we know what the living was like. It's a Pesuk in Chumash, you read it today. Right? The Pesuk which is written in the Tefillin. In the telemetry, in the tefillin. Imagine, chutzpah. It's like going to work in tefillin. It's unbelievable. What does it say? V'yasafta d'ganecha v'siroshcha v'yitarecha. It's written in the tefillin. That's why some of them censor out. V'yasafta d'ganecha v'siroshcha v'yitarecha. You have to go and work. And what does work mean? Work on the farm. And what is required? What is the most important characteristic and qualification for farm work? Anyone ever work on a farm? Are you going to keep wood somewhere in Eretz Yisrael? Something? Nothing. Oh, no one ever worked on a farm. All right, so next. Oh, Gevaldik. Sorry, where'd you work on the farm? Where? Gevaldik, Kibbutz Yavne. Okay. So, but the truth is, these days everything was machines. But in the old days, okay, but right hand, okay. But most farm work, what I understand, requires strength. I'll prove it to you. What do these farm guys look like? Man, these farm hands, you wouldn't want to set up with them. They're so stark. They're so so muscular because they're all day out in the farms and they're working, exercising their bodies. And therefore, when it says Yad Keah, it's synonymous in effect with Rov Malachas, because Rov Malachas then required strength. The person who was stronger with one and more dexterous with the other hand, the likelihood was that the most that he was doing all day was involved in strength. And if a Yad Keah is an apt description of the hand which cannot do the majority of the Malachas. What? First of all, Ksiva was a Malacha Yechidit, but it was usually overridden by the majority of the time which a person spent at his desk, he worked at his desk, the majority of the time he spent out working in the farm. But that, I'm playing a Chiddush Nifla now, so I want to say this Chiddush Gola before you go eat breakfast, I'm playing a Chiddush. You can think about it, you can talk about it. Bizman Azeh, we already have, no one's ever been in a farm. One bachel worked up a week and a day, an hour on a farm, picking pears. That's it. And therefore, most of us, we're sedentary. So they talk about the problem of health, we're sedentary. So, despite the valuable tone, we're still mostly sedentary. And therefore, it seems to me that not only should you follow Ksiva according to the second day in the Mechaber, but very likely you should follow not Ksiva as such, But the more dexterous hand, which usually is the hand of Siva, even according to the day in which holds Rav Malach. Not the brute strength sheet. I can see there's another sheet, but that sheet seems to be rejected by the Gro and the Mishnah Brura and the Valat Shulma. We'll all talk about Rav. There's no Rav and Mir by Koach. So therefore, it seems to me that a person who is left-handed in the following way, he writes left-handed, he eats left-handed, he brushes his teeth left-handed. Even though it's strong hand, it'd be right. Maybe he plays balls righty because playing ball requires strength. He throws right. Batting is a shaila. It's very complicated. So we'll go by throwing. It seems to me he should put tefillin on his right hand. Why? Hello, Kolamaisa. Number one, Yav Ramah. The Ramah says you always follow right. And number two, I want to say Pshat, even the Mechaber would concede to that. Now, when did I come up with this Kiddush? Many years ago, there's a young man from my shul, and now Baruch Hashem is already married with two kids. And he was exactly in this situation. And I researched it very carefully. I came up with this Kiddush. And I passed him this way the halacha for him. And I, not only that, but I wrote it by Mishnah Pshatul. And I gave it to him. This is the Gevaldik of one of the best tefillah I ever wrote. It was terrific. It's unbelievable. Everyone was in bated breath. Where's he going to put his throne? This way, this way, this way, this way. And then history repeated itself. A young man came into the world. His name is Simcha Willig. Exactly. Bidiyuk, the same as this younger man. And I passed him the same way. And I used the same drasha. This is a rarity. And he put throne on his right hand, because he writes lefty, he eats lefty, he brushes his teeth lefty, and he always says he should brush his teeth more often to eat more often in order to be to demarcate the left hand. Even though he plays sports with his right hand, he puts the film on the right, because he spends more of his time, we hope, sitting in school, writing notes, and then shear, and then eating, and then brushing teeth, and other things of that nature, dexterous, that he does in the Malach of the Bootstrap. That's my Kiddush for today, and tomorrow, well, I want to share some Zikwa in the morning, I'm going to go right there in this figure, in the second. Okay. Avon, everybody. Remember to make your bed first, if you haven't made it yet. Right now to make your bed.